Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week right here on 88.5 KRFY. It is Friday, September 6th, although for once, we are not live in the studio. I'm recording this on Thursday, September 5th, and we will hopefully not miss any major news stories that happen later on this evening. So we are not live in the studio for once here for North Idaho News of the Week. I am without a co-host today. My name is Jack Peterson, but I am joined by Eric Welch, staff reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Thank you very much for being here, Eric.
Yeah, good to be here, Jack.
Let's talk about what's going on in town. I would say the big story, this is not a huge surprise, but it is now confirmed that Sandpoint City Council approved on a Wednesday, September 4th, at their weekly meeting, they approved the local option tax for the November ballot. So the tax is not implemented, but it will appear on the ballot. We'll talk about the details of that. There will be a local option tax that city residents will have the opportunity to vote on. The Kinnexu Land Trust recently received the largest easement in the history of the organization, a 2,000-acre easement has been added to the Kinnexu Land Trust. Again, more details to follow on that, but that is the biggest single chunk of property that apparently they have ever put into their trust. Of course, if you're this isn't really our town, but it is relevant to meat lovers everywhere. The Wolf Lodge Steakhouse burned down completely on Labor Day and has been that kind of historic structure and popular eatery in our area no longer exists. At least the structure of it doesn't. And the future of the steakhouse is, I guess, a little uncertain. We'll see what happens next. Here in the city of Sandpoint, work has begun on 5th and Pine at that intersection where they are planning to move, and are currently work is underway, moving the stoplight from Church Street, one street over to Pine Street, and changing the intersection of 5th and Pine, and that will reshape the traffic flow downtown and onto Highway 2 from 95 in quite a bit. Out in Priest River and at the Albany Falls Dam, on August 29th, Priest River hosted the Governor's Capital for a Day project, event, I guess, that is a tradition he carried on from, I believe, from his predecessor, Butch Otter. But Governor Brad Little was in town, and among other items on the agenda was to talk about the Albany Falls Dam and the rebuilding repair schedule that the Army Corps of Engineers has proposed to take on. Our county commissioner here in Bonner County, Asia Williams, was present and suggested, or at least she was among those in favor of an accelerated timeline rather than the 3-year timeline that the Army Corps currently has proposed and is planning to follow. So we shall see what unfolds, but it is possible that there will be things will move a little faster. Those are the top 5 stories that I picked out from our local newspapers this week. Eric, did I miss anything of huge importance that you heard there?
No, those are the kind of the top headlines from the week.
Yeah. Let's talk about the details of that. The local option tax that is now it's now official. It will be on the ballots in November. We kind of anticipated that this would be coming. Mayor Grimm's been in favor of it, and I would say it was his proposal, not his alone, but he was kind of an advocate for it and had written about what it would be used for. It was expected to pass city council, but did it pass unanimously? Was there much debate or discussion at that meeting?
It did pass unanimously. The counselors did discuss some details and kind of work through the exact language of the ballot question. But, you know, in the end, all of the counselors did vote to bring that to the voters in November.
And this will be, this is a local option tax that will be very, the funds will be targeted towards, mainly towards road construction. And then other city pathways like sidewalks and things like that. I think I have that right.
Yeah. You know, it was brought forth originally with roads in mind, and particularly taking care of Sandpoint's backlog of roads that are in, you know, poor or very poor condition as they're classified. Mm-hmm. But with the language of that ballot question that passed through the council last night, that includes roads, that includes sidewalks and paths, and some alleyway work as well.
Do you know what are the details of the tax if it's implemented? What will that what's the tax rate? What's it and for how long would it last?
That's right. Yeah, it's a 1% sales tax essentially. And it's a 25-year duration.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would go into effect if it passed on the 1st of January 2025 and last for 25 years from then on out. And so that's 1% tax on pretty much anything that you buy from a store in Sandpoint. You know, that includes clothing, food, those kind of items.
Okay. When they discussed it, you mentioned they did kind of they discussed changes to the language and things like that. Anything of particular note or any major changes that they made from the original proposal with that?
Yeah, ultimately, they stuck pretty close to what was originally brought forth. There was some discussion about where emphasis should be placed, about how these tax funds could be used if the tax is ultimately approved. Some people were, you know, looking to place an emphasis on parkway paths, an emphasis on, you know, or a de-emphasis on alleyways, just kind of little minor tweaks. But ultimately, the language that came forth is just mainly focused on roads, you know, all sidewalks and paths in the city and a little bit on those alleyways as well.
Yeah. So that will be on the ballot in November. It will be interesting to see what happens. As I mentioned, the mayor has actually been on this radio station kind of outlining the reason that he thinks that the local option tax is necessary and a good idea. It's hard to say that there's much of a vocal opposition to, or any people who think that the streets in Sandpoint are in good condition. You know, there's a lot of, I don't think he's alone in thinking that the streets need more repair than they are getting. So we will see if the citizens are interested in approaching that project in this particular way. That will be, I believe it has to pass by 60%, if I'm not mistaken.
60% is right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. The Kinnexu Land Trust, their big easement. What can you tell us about that? I think you wrote the story in the BEE. Did you not? Do I have that?
Yeah,
right? That was under your byline. Okay. Yeah. What do you hear from the Kinnexu Land Trust and the Idaho Forest Group?
Yeah. So I was fortunate enough to talk with Reagan Plum, who's the conservation director at Kinnexu Land Trust, on Wednesday, and sort of get a better understanding of how this whole process came together and what it means for conservation in North Idaho. And so, essentially, last Friday, Idaho Forest Group, which is a Coeur d'Alene-based timber company, and Kinnexu Land Trust came to an agreement where Idaho Forest Group would donate more or less the land development rights for, you know, just under 2,000 acres that company owns along Pritchard Creek, which is a tributary of the Coeur d'Alene River. It's just east of the city of Coeur d'Alene.
Okay. Just east of Coeur d'Alene, that's what I was going to ask next, is where is this? Because I'm not too familiar with Pritchard Creek. How did this come about? What made the Forest Group decide that they wanted to put this under Kinnexu Land Trust's protection?
Yeah, so that company, Idaho Forest Group, has worked with Kiniksu in the past on some conservation efforts. When I spoke to Reagan on Wednesday, you know, she said that the company has, you know, expressed its intent to kind of be stewards of the forest, and they recognize that, you know, as a company that relies on healthy forests for a source of timber, that conserving North Idaho and ensuring that we continue to have lands that are protected and are healthy is in their best interest.
Yeah, it was not a donation of the land. Like the Kiniksu Land Trust does own a few properties. It owns the Sled Hill and the Pine Street Woods, and then another property which the name escapes me out on the east side of Lake Pend'Oreille. But this is not something that it was not a donation of the land to the land trust. It rather places it in a an easement that the land trust holds.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a very important distinction, I think, to make, is that it's not a transfer of the ownership of the land. The best way that it was described to me by Reagan was that, you know, essentially the owner of the land, Idaho Forest Group, they maintain all of the rights to the land except for unrestricted development. And so that privilege has been passed to Kiniksu Land Trust, essentially to safeguard and to ensure that going into the future, that this land is not going to be developed and that it's going to maintain kind of a natural state.
Okay. The Pritchard Creek is a tributary of the Coeur d'Alene River, right? Is that, do I have that right?
Yep, or
is it
that's another? Correct.
Yeah. And it is currently undeveloped, but you, write that the, it had seen some mining operations in the past, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. And so the history of that area is kind of interesting. In the 30s and 40s, so close to 100 years ago now, it was a site for some pretty intense gold mining that took place there. And so, you know, in the Pritchard Creek area, it's about a 14-mile stretch kind of in this valley between some forested hills. That area, the creek area, was turned over, essentially, looking for gold. And so there's lots of mining debris, all sorts of long piles of stone that are the remnants of that mining that has taken place. And so kind of the second component to this easement is that now that this area has been, you know, protected underneath this easement, it's in the hands of Kiniksu Land Trust in regards to development. Now there's been some talk of other local groups coming in and really kind of launching some remediation projects to return that ecosystem back to its natural state.
Okay. Yeah, they, you mentioned here Trout Unlimited and the Restoration Partnership, according to the Forest Group's press release, have already taken steps towards rejuvenating the area. And apparently beavers have started to return after being gone for some decades.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome back, beavers. Do they have a vision for what, like, kind of the future of this watershed is going to look like? Will this be accessible by the public, or is this just to kind of protect the watershed from, you know, to keep the water clean as it flows into the Coeur d'Alene River, which then flows into Lake Coeur d'Alene and then ultimately to Spokane, and I think eventually winds its way, you know. I mean, this is it's a small source of the river, but feeds a large, huge watershed ultimately. If there's, you know, if there were harmful materials, say, that were to enter that creek, it could have downstream effects that affect all the way into Washington and Oregon, I suppose. One imagines, I guess. I'm not a scientist.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I'm rambling a little bit, but I guess my question, getting back to it, was what is this just to kind of protect it as they see it now, and it will stay in the Idaho Forest Group's hands and be relatively just untouched, or will it eventually be something that would be open to the public, or how do we, or do they not say yet what the plan is for the years down the line?
Yeah, as it stands right now, it's probably a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. In you know, just restoring that natural habitat for the sake of the larger ecosystem, but also for the mm-hmm. enjoyment of the public. Idaho Forest Group still retains the right to allow or disallow public access to the area. And mm-hmm. according to Kinnickson Land Trust right now, the Forest Group does allow public access to that land.
Okay.
And so, you know, as those remediation efforts go forward, the idea, I think, is that the stream may be able to become a bull trout bearing stream once again, as it was historically. And the bull trout is a threatened and a protected species in Idaho. And so that's kind of one of the reasons why Trout Unlimited is one of the parties that's kind of interested in remediating this area, is to hopefully kind of bring the bull trout back and make it a really nice stream for fishing and just general recreation in the area.
Yeah. There's a couple nice photographs in the B of the area, and as you can see them in high definition on the website as well. It does look like a beautiful piece of property. I had no idea it even existed. Had never heard of Pritchard Creek until now, but there it is. And now the land trust is holding it and will be protecting it from development in perpetuity. Speaking of down in Coeur d'Alene and in the east side of Coeur d'Alene, the Wolf Lodge Steakhouse burned down on Labor Day weekend. I don't know if you would call it a landmark, but it's just a very popular restaurant, probably one of the more kind of, I don't know, one of the more unique and, places to go and have a bite to eat in our area anyway. And people would make the trek all the way down from Sandpoint and from elsewhere just to go and eat at the Wolf Lodge. Doesn't exist anymore. It burned to the ground on Labor Day weekend. This is well outside of the Daily Bee's coverage area usually, although there was a piece in the paper. Is there anything else we can say about that right now? Do they know? Is there anything else known?
Yeah. I'll tell you what I know based on the coverage done by the Coeur d'Alene Press down in Coeur d'Alene. Mm-hmm. The building was a total loss on Monday. The fire was started in the kitchen, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And there has definitely been, in the wake of this event, there's been a huge outpouring of support from the community. I think that this place was, I never had an opportunity to visit, but mm-hmm. it seems like it was really beloved by a lot of people in North Idaho.
Yeah. Yes, you missed out. I think the article in the, or well, you, it was published in the BA. I think you republished from the Coeur d'Alene Press, just that people have been showing up to the site of the fire just to, I guess you would say, pay their respects or anything. Nobody was hurt in the fire, as far as I know, right? I think.
I'm not certain.
Just the building. Yeah. Okay. There goes the Wolf Lodge. I'm sorry you never got to eat there, Eric. It was pretty cool, I would say. What else do we have to talk about? Here in the city of Sandpoint, they have now actually started the work on 5th and Pine. That's going to change the traffic flow in downtown, including probably the traffic that goes right by the Daily Bee's offices over there on Church Street. You'll change the way things look out your windows, I suppose, a little bit once things are complete. There will be the ultimate plan. It will be to just restore the what is now a one-way block to two-way traffic. There is only one block of one-way street there, and it will be two-way traffic, and it will just be a straight kind of a grid, I believe. And then the traffic light at Church and Fifth won't exist anymore. So that will just be a stop sign, I guess.
Yeah. The best way that I can describe it is, as it stands, there's a section of Pine Street between 4th and 5th Avenues that mm-hmm. is, like you said, is a one-way street. And that's going to be converted to a two-way street. The stoplight that is currently at the junction of Church Street and 5th Avenue is going to be moved just one block down the street to the intersection of Fifth Avenue and Pine Street there. And then in the place of that, the cars that are passing across Fifth Avenue on Church Street, that's going to be controlled by just a pair of stop signs.
Yeah. That intersection at Church and the current intersection, the current light there at Church and Fifth is certainly a, I hope I'm not, I'm speaking just for myself here, but I have always found it to be a rather temperamental intersection, kind of a traffic light that was always hard to kind of plan your route around. Sometimes it would be, seems like it would take forever to change if you were at that stoplight at the wrong time. So that will be, it, I'm sure, on Pine, which is a much more heavily trafficked street, just ordinarily, that things are going to be a little bit different there. Let's see. We have, have you heard anything about, I don't know, a possible change in the schedule out at Albany Falls Dam? I mentioned that that was mentioned during the Capital for a Day thing, but I don't know how serious that is as a proposal, if it's possible to accelerate the timeline on the repairs to that structure or not.
Yeah, as far as I know, that's something that's still to be determined.
Yeah,
what the exact timeline is going to look like. I know that was, like you mentioned, that was a subject of discussion at the governor's visit to Priest River, and certainly how important that dam is for controlling the level of Lake Pendere and the effect that has on tourism, recreation, and the overall character of Sandpoint. It's something that's on a lot of people's minds.
Yeah. Here's a little bit of good news under your byline. Rotary Club donated $100,000for literacy support. Yes, I could maybe use a little of that myself. A little literacy support. What is the article on this say? Who was the big recipient of the $100,000 donation from Rotary, and where did they get the funds?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be at that meeting where that took place on Wednesday, and that $100,000 check was offered to Book Trust and Lake Pendere School District with the mission of essentially supporting literacy for students within Lake Pendere School District. And the money for that was generated through the Rotary Club's, Rotary of Sandpoint's annual Chafe 150 bike ride that they do. And that took place in mid-June this year and was a huge financial success for them.
Always their, I think it's usually their biggest event of the season or of the year, if I'm not mistaken. That's their, at least they're most public, because it's riders on all sorts of, on a great big route all the way up to Potter's Ferry and then over into Montana and come back down. It's very visible around here during that day. But go on, anyway.
Yeah, and then what was kind of interesting, you know, with that ride this year was that on that weekend where it took place, we happened to have some pretty unseasonable weather. Some of you might remember in mid-June, there was a kind of a cold spell that had rain and wind, and even in some places, snow or hail.
Yeah, that's right. KRFY, we have one of the booths, the little rest stops where riders will pull off and have just have some refreshments or a bite to eat or something like that, and can rest safely for a minute. And actually, during that ride, there was a huge hailstorm, and a whole bunch of riders took shelter at our tent, and then ultimately were given access to the Northside School out there to hide out from the hail. I think it got a little hairy for a little while during this year's ride. I hadn't seen hail during that event before, but anyway, I'm not aware of any serious injuries, and it was. Seemed like everybody was actually in pretty high spirits during the during that kind of a fun adventure. Excuse me. Okay. So $100,000for reading, for literacy support from the Rotary Club this year, from funds raised at the CHAFE 150. Here's another one that we haven't talked about yet. The Bonner County Sheriff's Office will. Is this a change of any kind, or they will be providing law enforcement services to the cities of Old Town and Dover, that the county is the providing all personnel, equipment, supplies, and supervision to protect the towns? Is that how it's always been, or is that a new agreement, or was it kind of a something that had never been formalized before and is now on the books? But
yeah, it's a renewal of two existing contracts that were already in place. It'll last for 2 years, and it's at the same rate that was proposed before.
Yeah, and that rate is $100 per month to each community.
From each community.
From each community. Which there were a couple comments from the public on how that monthly rate seems pretty low, which it does actually. I mean, speaking for myself again, I thought that was a typo at first. I thought that's only $100 for per month for law enforcement, but I guess it's not as if the sheriff's department would be ignoring those communities otherwise. I don't know. Would they not be obliged to protect those communities anyway, even if they weren't underneath those, underneath this agreement?
Yeah, I'm not exactly certain on where their obligations start or end in all of that specifically.
Uh-huh.
But I know that, as you said, some of the public was expressed that they thought that this service should have been charged at a higher rate, mm-hmm. essentially. But I'm not certain exactly where the obligations would be if these contracts were not in place.
Indeed. Sort of an interesting question. Well, we are approaching the end of our time here. Eric Welch, thanks for joining us again here on North Idaho News of the Week. You've been in town now. You got here early in the summer. It's been one season for you. We're approaching fall. How are things going? How have things been? How are you doing personally in our closing few minutes?
Very good. Yeah, okay. It's been a pleasure to become more familiar with Sandpoint, with everybody who lives here and people who have some very deep roots here. I've been learning there's a number of people who really have generational roots in the area, and it's pretty cool to see that within the community. Being able to become more familiar with the landscape, explore some of the mountains, the lake. The rivers, all that is really special about this particular little corner of North Idaho has been a delight.
Well, it is. Yeah, it is a special part of the world. You find any place in particular that you can say is a favorite around here?
Yeah, I've hiking up in the Selkirks. There's a number of really mm-hmm. really beautiful hikes up there to some
cool
alpine lakes. Anybody who wants to stretch their legs a little bit before winter comes, that's mm-hmm. a number of lovely hikes up in that area.
It's certainly true. We are now out of time. We're going to continue with our regularly scheduled programming. It's time for Otto's Eclectic Mix, and this has been North Idaho News of the Week. We'll be back live in the studio next week for a good live North Idaho News of the Week. Thanks for listening to Panhandle Community Radio. Thank you very much, Eric Welch, staff reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee, on newsstands now and available all over town and on BonnerCountyDailyBee.com. Yes, thanks for listening, and that'll do it. We'll be back next week.